Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me.
Amen. How about that? Well, we serve a mighty God, don't we? I want to thank you for tuning in tonight to the Sound Doctrine broadcast with Dr. Ventura, coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California. And I want to thank the listeners and those who support us. I want to thank Nathan down on our switchboard and D.L. Brown for allowing us to be a guest on this program this evening and every Thursday night. And tonight I want to do something a little different. I'm not going to preach at you, but I'm going to teach you a little bit. As they say down south, we're going to get some learning. Amen. That's south of America, not South America, but south of North America, the United States. We're going to get some learning. But I teach some things here, and I hope that you'll find it interesting. A lot of people know the story. They haven't really studied it out. It is that time of year where the world in general starts to get mindful of a holiday that involves Jesus Christ. And, you know, they'll put their little Christmas lights up in their mangers. And the truth is, Jesus isn't a baby anymore. He's resurrected. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. But, as you know, some people think that if they keep Jesus in the manger, then, you know, no judgment. But that's not what's happening. We did a prior program on political correctness. And, you know, political correctness is really, you know, hate speech is the Bible. So if you're politically correct, you're probably generally against the Bible. Amen. And shame on that in America. But I'd like to study a little bit tonight about Matthew. If you'd go with me to Matthew chapter 28 tonight and prepare yourselves for the study. You have your Bible with you. You don't come to a Bible study without a Bible. And this is a good idea to have one. And when I say a Bible, I mean the King James Bible. And I don't mean the New King James Bible, which supposedly was translated from the Textus Receptus manuscripts. And obviously it was not. And so we'll go to the standard, and the standard is the King James Bible, 1611, authorized version. And if you have a King James Bible and it doesn't say authorized version on it, you need to check some verses and to see if they've changed some things. But I do want to thank you for tuning in, and I appreciate it. And so let's have a prayer. And if you've got your Bibles, please open to Matthew chapter 28, and we're gonna study what happened at the end of the period of time when Jesus Christ was put in the tomb. And I know you say, well, this is supposed to be a time about the birth of Christ. Well, you know, and I agree. It is a time about the birth of Christ, but it's also a time about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because without a resurrection, there was no need for the birth. Amen. And so let's have a prayer, and we'll get right down to the meat of this matter. Father God, we thank you this evening for your time that you've given us and for the patience to study. And we ask for your grace here, Lord, that you would touch our hearts and minds and spirits and open our spiritual eyes and ears and give us wisdom, God, to understand and give us something new, Lord, that when we leave this program tonight, we could say that we met with you, Lord. And if there's anything in my life, Lord, that would hinder this, or the listeners, would you please forgive them, Lord, and put it under the blood of Jesus. I pray for that for them. I know they have to pray for their own forgiveness, Lord, but be merciful, Father, and forgive me if I have anything that I haven't confessed to this point of my day. But, Lord, I would ask you that you would bless us and that you would fill us with your Spirit in this time. Let nothing come from me that is of the flesh. And I thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you have your Bibles open tonight, I'd like you to look at chapter 28 of the book of Matthew, and I'd like to read the first verse. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, and that's a Saturday, and you must remember Jewish people kept time from 6 to 6. We keep time from 12 to 12. And so the end of the Sabbath would be Saturday at 6 o'clock to us, and that's what it is to a Jew. Saturday at 6 o'clock becomes Sunday to a Jew. We say at Saturday at midnight becomes Sunday, but a Jew didn't keep the time the way you and I keep the time. The Jews kept time from 6 to 6. And so again, the scripture says in the end of the Sabbath. So that would mean that at the end of the Sabbath, well, the Sabbath would have ended at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, and that would begin the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And I know a lot of people think Monday's the first day of the week because they work 5 or 6 days, or they work 5 days and they have the weekend off and back to work on Monday. And they say, well, you know, Monday's the first day of the week. And that's just not true. Sunday is the first day of the week. And if you look at a calendar, you would see that. But in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, see, the light hadn't really come up yet, the sun. It's beginning to, see. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now, I understand that, you know, you would think that the only people that came there at that present time was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the disciples. Amen. And this is supposed to be the Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. That's the other Mary. And so I want to share with you tonight something interesting about the order of events, the order of events, and combining the four narratives of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And, you know, if you're a Bible student, you should know that you cannot even read all of what it said over the cross of Jesus Christ, his accusation by his accusation of what he was guilty of. You could not find that if you read just Matthew or you read just Mark. You must read the four Gospels to get the full statement of what was written over Jesus' cross. So we call these the Synoptic Gospels, the four Gospels. And you certainly cannot get the full story of what happened at the tomb of Jesus Christ that morning when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the sepulcher. They're going to the cemetery to see Jesus, to see the tomb where he laid. And they must have believed that what he said is that he would resurrect in 3 days. But there's a problem with that, because that's not necessarily true, because you find out that what really happened was they were bringing spices and things to anoint Christ. They hadn't really got the understanding that he had resurrected from the dead, that he was born to die, and that when he died, he resurrected. And they just hadn't got that in their head. They didn't understand that the Jew was thinking material property. We're going to get our kingdom, and it will be on earth, and it will be a material kingdom, and certainly they will during the millennium reign. But Christ was talking about not only the kingdom of heaven, which is the literal, physical, visible kingdom on earth, but he was talking about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And you enter the spirit, you enter the spiritual kingdom of God when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that, today's a fine time to get that sin issue right in your life. But I want you to know what was going on, and I think we should take a look at this. So let's do that. You know, often I hear people say, well, the people in the Old Testament look forward to the cross, and the people in the New Testament, we look back to the cross. Well, I want you to know something, brother and sister, that people in the Old Testament were not looking forward to the cross. Had they been looking forward to the cross, they would not have allowed Christ to be crucified. They would not have brought the religious leaders an accusation against him. They would not have brought him before Pontius Pilate. So that saying is they were looking towards the crosses is not true. Now, you and I, we may look back at the cross. Amen? But in our sin life, we certainly weren't looking for any cross until we got to the point of our life where we realized that we were sinners and we were on our way to hell, and we need to repent of our sins and change our ways and receive Christ. And on with the story. Matthew 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now, the order of events combining these four narratives is as follows. Three women, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome, start for the sepulcher. And they're followed by other women bearing spices. The three find the stone rolled away. And Mary Magdalene goes to tell the disciples. So I look over into Luke chapter 23, verse 55 to 24:9, and you'll find this, that there's more light shed upon this, and what happens at the sepulcher. So let me say that again. Three women. Now, I know Matthew says in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, right? Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And there's only two people mentioned there. But the truth is, three women went. You had Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. They start out for the sepulcher, but they're followed by other women bearing spices. And those three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they get there, and the three women find the stone rolled away. And so Mary Magdalene, she goes to tell the disciples, and we'll see this in Luke chapter 23, if you're following in your Bible, verse 55. Scripture says, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointment and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, that Sunday, very early in the morning, what we already learned in Matthew, that it was, you know, toward dawn. Hadn't been dawn yet, still dark, okay. And so, and here's what it says back in Luke. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came onto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Now we find in the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, you should write these verses down so that later you can look at this and you can teach your children. And because it's quite, a lot of things were happening at that sepulcher. It just wasn't a couple people went there and they looked and they said, oh, you know, we got spices. And, you know, that, you know, this is the real story here. And we're going to get it all together and we're going to say, wow, I didn't realize all that was going on. And so John chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. John chapter 20, 1 and 2. In John chapter 20, verse 1 and 2 says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, and it was yet dark unto the sepulcher. Are you getting this thing? You see, this sunrise service thing, listen, Christ was already resurrected. He was already out of that tomb before the sun began to come up. And the proof of that is here in John chapter 20, verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. You see, verse 2 says, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. So here's Mary Magdalene. Well, we already know who went. Mary Magdalene wasn't alone, because Matthew 28:1 said, in the beginning of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Okay? And so Mary Magdalene wasn't alone. But here you see the first day of the week in John, cometh Mary Magdalene early, and it was yet dark. And I want you to think about this right now. You see, it was the pagans who worshipped the sun as it rose in the morning. And that tradition of sunrise service has really nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because the Jew kept time from 6 to 6, and 6 o'clock Saturday began, 6:01 began the first minute of Sunday to a Jew. And therefore, when they get to the tomb, Jesus Christ is already gone. It's still dark out. They didn't get there as the sun was rising. It said when it was yet dark. Okay? So you have Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. They draw near to the tomb, and they see the angel of the Lord. Now, if you look with me in Matthew 28:2, Scripture says, and behold, make it 28:1, in the beginning of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Okay? So here we have Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. They draw near to the tomb, and they see the angel of the Lord. Now, she goes back to meet the other women following with the spices. Meanwhile, Peter and John, warned by Mary Magdalene, they arrive at the tomb, they look in, and then they go away. Okay? So, if you'll look with me on John chapter 20, because we're going to go through the Gospels together. John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. All right, John 20, 11 to 18. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and see it two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. How about that? Amen. Verse 15. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, Touch not me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. And Mary came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Amen. Okay, so let's go back now. Order of events. We're combining the four narratives. Three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they start out for the sepulcher. It's still dark out when they get there. They're followed by women bearing spices. The three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, find the stone rolled away. Mary Magdalene goes to tell the disciples, the angel of the Lord, right? She goes to tell the disciples, excuse me. Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, they draw near to the tomb, and they see the angel of the Lord in Matthew 28, verse number 2. She goes back to meet the other women, following with the spices. Meanwhile, Peter and John, warned by Mary Magdalene, they take off and they get to the tomb, and they look in, and they go away. Okay, so let's look at that. John chapter 20. Well, I know you didn't know all these things were going on at that tomb. People were coming and going. John chapter 20. Let's look at that. Verses 3 to 10. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. Well, that's Peter and John. They get to the sepulcher. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the nap that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went therein also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, that's John. And he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So that tells you that people who are saying, you know, Old Testament saints were looking to the cross. No, they were not. It says clearly here, for as they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Okay? So she goes back to meet the other women, following with the spices. In the meantime, Peter and John, they were warned. Mary Magdalene went back like the Lord told her to go tell his disciples he'd risen. And Peter and John say, what? And they get excited and they're running. Then they arrive, they look in, and then they go away. Now, Mary Magdalene, she returns weeping. She sees the two angels and then Jesus. Well, how do I know that? Well, let's look at chapter 20, verse 11 to 18. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she went, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Amen? So here's what we have now. So Mary Magdalene goes back. She gets there and weeping. She sees the angels and then Jesus. And goes, right, as he bade her to tell the disciples. Now, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, meanwhile, has met the woman. Are you listening? She met the woman with the spices, and returning with them, they see two angels. So let's go to Luke. See, they all didn't come together to the sepulcher at the same time. Let's go to Luke. Luke 24. Verse number 4. My goodness, how many things were going on at that sepulcher? It was just a madhouse. There was excitement. There was sorrow. Imagine, you had just seen Christ 3 days before, and he was hanging on the cross, and they took his body, and they wrapped it, and Joseph of Arimathea put it in his own tomb, and this leader that we believed in and we had so hoped in, he has died and we're not going to get the kingdom. And other people said he was a fraud, and other people said he's the Christ, the Messiah. And there's sadness. They're going to put spices, and they want to go see the tomb where Jesus was. And then they get there, and it's the doors open. The stones roll away. And then we get Luke 24:4 and verse 5. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Amen. Mark chapter 16, let's go there. And I'll run through this again for you so you can get it. Mark. Yeah, remember Matthew, Mark. If you're new to the Bible, Mark is the second gospel. Chapter 16. There's only 16 chapters in Mark, I believe. And chapter 16, verse number 5, says, and entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. So they also receive an angelic message. And going to seek the disciples, they're met by Jesus. Okay, let's go back. Matthew 28, 8 through 10. Matthew chapter 28. Now, I'll give you time to get there. I mean, we're studying together. This isn't a race. Shame on you if you didn't bring a Bible, though. Matthew 28. Look at verses 8 to 10. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail!" And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Oh, what a special, glorious moment that would be. And they loved Jesus so much. They saw him heal the sick, the compassion. They knew he was sinless. They knew he was innocent. They believed he was the Son of God, and he suffered such a horrible, terrible death to pay for our sins. And they saw him. It says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Oh, I know there were tears of joy. Amen. Our Messiah was alive. Verse 10 says, then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Amen. So, the order of events. The order of events, combining four narratives, is as follows. Three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they start for the sepulcher. They're followed by the women bearing spices. The three find the stone rolled away, and Mary Magdalene goes to tell the disciples. We saw that in Luke. Now here's the verses again. 23, 55 through 24, verse 9. John 20, verses 1 and 2. All right? Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, draws near to the tomb and sees the angel of the Lord, Matthew 28, 2. She goes back to meet the other women, following with the spices. So she runs back and catches those women that are coming with the spices. Meanwhile, while all this is going on, Peter and John, they were warned by Mary Magdalene that the Lord had risen. They arrive excitedly, I'm sure. They look in, and they go away. Mary Magdalene returns now to the tomb after Peter and John had left. She sees two angels and then Jesus, right? And goes as he had told her. He instructed her to tell the disciples. So Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, meanwhile, they met the women with the spices, and they all get to the tomb. The women with the spices, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. And they return with those women with the spices, and they see the two angels. Luke 24, verse 4 and 5, Mark 16, verse 5. Now, they also receive a message from those angels. This is an angelic message. And going to find the rest of the disciples, they're met by Jesus in Matthew 28, 8 through 10. A lot of things were going on there, wasn't it? Well, I know Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, you know, they starved for the sepulcher, followed by the women bearing spices. Okay? So you got three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. They start out before sunlight. It's about to dawn. And they get up, they're excited, they're sad, they're hurt in their hearts, their Messiah, the man they loved, they spent 3.5 years with. He's been murdered, crucified, brutally scourged and beaten. Isaiah says his face was marred beyond any other man's. It was marred beyond recognition of any other man. And he took those stripes and that beating. And they brought him to that cross, and they pounded those nails in his hands. And what a contrast to when they were so joyful when the baby Jesus was born, and they were touching his little bitty hands, and, "Oh, baby Jesus," and the Messiah was born, and you know those shepherds came and worshiping the angel gave the great message, and how wonderful it was, the little baby with the little cute little hands and feet, and you know how babies are, But now they were taking those same hands and feet, and they were pounding nails through him and through his hands and through his feet. And, oh, what a terrible, horrible death. And yet he died for us because he loved us. And so they had witnessed this. In the sorrow of their hearts, they were going back. And I can't help but thinking that maybe in the back of their mind, they kind of believed that Jesus was going to resurrect. And why return to the tomb if you can't get in it? They would have had to have the Roman soldiers roll the stone away or somebody so they could bring those spices and wrap him. And you're not going to bring spices to wrap a body that's not there. So there seems to be that he's there, he's not. See? And so the three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they start out for the sepulcher. And they're followed by the other women. The other women are bringing spices. They're following them. And you know, you love somebody. I've gone to the cemetery after somebody I loved has passed away, and I've shed some tears there. I've shed some tears. And this is fresh in their hearts. It was only 3 days, and they couldn't return to that tomb because of the Roman soldiers, and they couldn't return to the tomb on Saturday because it was a Sabbath. So they had to wait till after 6 o'clock at night, and it was dark, but they knew the sun would be rising. But they got there at the tomb, and it was dark when they got there. It wasn't any sunrise. It was dark. And I imagine those angels that were in there that were white and light probably scared them pretty good. It says they, you know, bowed down and worshipped them with their face to the ground. And, you know, if you saw that, imagine stepping into your living room and there's this angel standing there bright and white with a message from God. And I'm sure you would hit the floor also. Amen. And that's exactly what happened. But we see here that three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, they start for the sepulcher. They're followed by the women bearing those spices. And the three, not the women with the spices, but the three, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, find the stone. It's rolled away. And Mary Magdalene goes to tell the disciples. Now that we saw that in Luke, she goes to tell the disciples, hey, the stone's rolled away. Okay? Now we'll go back there. Let's go back there because you need to settle this in your heart. Go to Luke 23 one more time with me. I mean, we're here for a Bible study. Come on, you're doing good. You're doing well. So follow. Let's go to Luke 23:55. Don't be lazy. It's a word of God. God's got a blessing in this for you. Luke 23:55. And I'm going to read to 24:9. But 23:55 clearly says, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Still with me? Okay, look at verse 9. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to read down to verse 9. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Now listen to the next verse. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to be as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre. But we find out from John that Peter wasn't alone. You see? Now, there's something you have to understand about biblical translation. I mean, biblical writing and the Holy Spirit and understanding your Bible. But one thing I'd like to do is let me finish the verse. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves and departed, wondering to himself at that which had come to pass. Okay, so we say, well, how come Luke says this, and then we go over here to John? Come on with me, John chapter 20, because I'm gonna give you something tonight to help you better understand when you read the Word of God and the Gospels, the four Gospels. Look at John chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. John 20, 1 and 2. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, and that's John, see, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord. But why is it that Luke only tells us that Peter was there? And we don't find out about John being there until we read the book of John. Well, it's quite simple. It's not a lie or a contradiction. The emphasis is on one person. For instance, if I said, you said, where were you tonight? And I says, oh, I went to have coffee. I had coffee tonight with my friend Jim. And yet I was really with Jim and six other people. Well, I wouldn't be lying. It's just maybe I figured you'd recognize Jim because he's my friend. And so you knew I was with a friend. So I say, yeah, Jim and I went and played cards tonight. Or Jim and I went and I don't play cards, but Jim and I went and had coffee together. Well, yeah, we did go have coffee together, but there were other people there. That's not a lie. It's not a contradiction. You see? And so sometimes you find in your Bible, in the Gospels, that only one is mentioned instead of the two. And like the madman of Gadara there, you find that there were actually two madmen, you see? But if you don't study your Bible, and you have to look at the four Gospels, like if you remember being in high school, if you are in high school, and you're using a paperback or a hardback textbook, you would look at, in biology class, they would have that page that had the human being standing there in his skin, and you'd peel that page back, and the next page had his veins and all that, and the next one, you peel back, had the muscles, and then you peel the next one back, and it has the skeletal. But it's really all one person. And so it's designed to teach you. And so each individual writer, as he wrote, being moved by the Holy Spirit, because all scriptures are inspired by the Holy Ghost, and as he was, as the Holy Spirit movement, and so as they're writing, you have to look at the whole of this. That's why I say that if you'd really have to read all four Gospels to understand what was written, the accusation above the cross of Jesus Christ. If you don't, you'll only get a piece from each gospel. And so that's how you should understand the gospels, just like that biology book that, you know, it's all one. Amen? And so here you have Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. Now they're getting near the tomb, and they see the angel of the Lord. And she goes back to meet the other women following with the spices. In the meantime, Peter and John, they already ran into Mary Magdalene. She ran back to tell them she had seen, hey, Lord, he's risen. The tomb's empty. And so she runs back and tells Peter and John. Peter and John, you know, they arrive and they look in, and they say, wow, he's not here. And they take off, right? And they go running. Now, Mary Magdalene returns in the meantime. Peter and John are running, but Mary's on her way back. And she sees the two angels and then Jesus. And she goes, as Jesus had told her, to go tell my disciples. She goes to do that. Now, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, in the meantime, she met the women with the spices, and she returns with them. And they see the two angels. And they also receive a message, a instruction, and they go to seek the other disciples. But on the way, they're met by Jesus. You see? And so that's the order of events at the tomb of Jesus Christ, at the sepulcher. And it wasn't just Mary showed up with another person. And however, you could get that impression if you just read Matthew and you didn't read all of your Bible, you see. Look with me over there in Luke 23. Well, look at Matthew 28:1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. But Luke tells us that Salome was with her. And then Peter and James, we find out when. But first, Mary Magdalene got the message, and she took off running, you see. And she must have outran the other woman, but there she is. And so here we got it, all four Gospels put together. Three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they start for the sepulcher. They're followed by the women or behind them somewhere bearing those spices. The three, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, the three find the stone rolled away. Mary Magdalene takes off. She goes to tell the disciples. Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, she now gets to the tomb and sees the angel of the Lord. She goes back and she meets the other women that are following the spices. In the meantime, Peter and John, they ran into Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene told them that Jesus had risen, and they run, they get there, and they're looking in, and they go away. That was in John chapter 23-10. Mary Magdalene now, she's returning, and she's weeping. Peter and John were already there and left, and she sees the two angels and then meets Jesus and goes and tells the rest of the disciples. Now, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, in the meanwhile, she met the women with the spices. And she returns with them. And then they all see the two angels. And they also got an instruction. And going to seek the disciples, they're met by who? By Jesus Christ. It's really not complicated if you study that out. So what happens when the final meet the disciples, when the disciples finally, you know, meet Jesus? Well, you know, amen, reunion. I mean, that's a faith builder. Amen? You think knowing Jesus is just a wonderful thing. It's more than that. It's a faith builder. Imagine being there and seeing that empty tomb and knowing that Jesus, you know, left many evident proofs. One of them was, we read that when they went into the tomb, the napkin was folded and set aside. Now listen, if you're robbing a grave, or if you're getting up out of the tomb, you're not going to waste time with two Roman soldiers guarding that tomb to fold that napkin up. The evidence is not that he folded that napkin and awoke from deep sleep or something. Christ was dead. If I was going to be a grave robber and I wanted to make sure this is the tomb of Jesus, I'd rip that napkin off, look at it, come on, we got to get out of here. But as an evidence, the Lord left it folded up neatly, said it was folded. And then we see that outside the tomb were two Roman soldiers. And the penalty for a Roman soldier to lose a prisoner was death. And so Jesus said, okay, I'll show you that I really am the Lord and that I am going to resurrect. And I'm even going to let my enemies watch over my tomb. And so those Roman soldiers stood outside and they guarded the tomb. Well, why didn't they prevent Christ from coming through the door? Or prevent the angel from rolling back the stone? Well, the Bible tells us they were mortified. I mean, they were shocked. What could they do? You see? Here's what it said. Listen, in the beginning of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, a shaking, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, you see, and came and rolled back the stone from the door. And then he sat upon it, the Bible says, and sat upon it. His countenance was white like lightning. You know how white lightning is when you see it? And his raiment white as snow. And it wasn't white like a flash. It was a continual white. And for fear of him, the keepers, those Roman soldiers, did shake and became as dead men. Amen? And the angel said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Amen. So that's the order of events that occurred. And those keepers, the infallible proofs of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the keepers were, they were so scared of what they saw and what they heard, they froze. They couldn't move, it says. The Bible says that they shook. They trembled in fear because, and they became as dead men. You know how dead men are? Hey, listen, dead men ain't moving anywhere. They're not doing a thing. They're just there. And that's what happened to those Roman soldiers. You know, these were some of the Praetorian Guard, I believe, and they were men who would have been very, very skilled in the art of war. Very skilled. And so that was a requirement, and they were nearest to the governors and to the Roman leaders and the people that were ruling because they were there to protect them. So they had to be good. They were bodyguards in that sense, and they protected the area all around from rebellion. And so these men that were placed there, they were not just some flunkies. They put them there to make sure that they had heard the rumors, the Jews, that those Pharisees had heard the rumors that he would resurrect in 3 days, and they wanted to prove to people that he's not God. Put two guards there to guard that tomb door, that rock, so nobody can go in there and steal his body, and then they'll go tell him the biggest lie ever. And so what happened was the Roman soldiers were there. The testimony is that tomb rolled open anyway, and Jesus Christ resurrects, and the angels there, and they're witness to all Peter coming and John and all them. And so, and you know what happens? Those soldiers, look at here, it says in verse 11 of Matthew 28, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. Now some of the watch, these are the guards that were set to watch over the tomb, right? Said, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and shewed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel. They gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, tell this lie, this is what they're saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole them away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So they bribed those soldiers and they said, listen, you have to say that, somebody came and stole the body, because the soldiers went back and said, listen, you know, Jesus resurrected. He's out of that tomb. That thing opened up. The angels were there. Disciples were there. Mary was there. The people were coming. The people were going. And they said, what'd you do? We were as dead men. We were so scared. Well, here's a, you know, they're already frightened at what they saw and what they heard, and now they're a part of the death, burial, and crucifixion guarding the tomb of the Son of God. You know, I'm sure they feared the wrath of God, and most Roman soldiers at that time were not Christians, and they had pagan gods, and they worshipped Jupiter and Saturn and, you know, Hercules and all that other stuff. And so here they are, and now they're in fear of what they've seen and what they heard. They might have had a part in doing something wrong to the Son of God, and they're guarding that tomb, and they know that they have no power to control what's going on, and now they have to go back and tell their superiors that, hey, we lost this soldier, and they're going to face death. That's death. But rather than kill them and put them to death, it would have proved that Jesus had resurrected. So they left them alive and had them tell a lie and told them, if you get in trouble with the government, we'll stick up for you. You see? And that lie really proved that Jesus is the Lord. Because had those soldiers really told the truth that they had lost a prisoner, they would have been executed. That was a Roman penalty, you see. And I say this to those who oppose Christianity. We've had 2,000 years. If they couldn't produce Jesus' body then, how will they produce it today? He is not here. He is resurrected. And if they wanted to discredit Christianity, all they had to do was find the body of Jesus. If it was stolen from the tomb, how far could they have gotten? Could somebody keep such a secret for that many years? Could so many people know and keep it a secret? Hardly. And so we have that infallible proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the little baby Jesus who was born in a manger. Hark the herald angels sing. Amen. You know, we serve a mighty God. If you don't know Jesus Christ and you only know of him, then you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ was born to die. He is not a little baby in a manger in front of your church or down the street. He is truly the King of Kings. He has resurrected from the dead as he said he would. He died for mankind's sins, and all men have the pardon if they'll receive it. You know, a prisoner in prison doesn't have to accept the pardon. If the governor says, I'm willing to pardon your sins, and sends the papers down, that prisoner can reject that pardon. But wouldn't that be silly if you were doing a life sentence or a death sentence and the governor pardons you and you say, nah, I think I'll just die? Amen. That doesn't make too much sense. I mean, I'm being real with you now. Why does mankind reject the pardon that Jesus Christ is offering them for their sins? It's the same thing as if a man on death row said, nah, I guess I'll just reject that pardon and die. Tell the governor thanks, but no thanks. You cannot afford to, as that prisoner would spend the rest of his life in prison or go to the electric chair, or however they execute him. When you reject Jesus Christ, you're doing that. You're really doing that. You're saying, God, I don't need this pardon. Thanks. I guess I'll just die and go to hell for the rest of my life. Because there's only two places, heaven and hell. Jesus said there's a gulf fixed between heaven and hell. Nobody's crossing that gulf. It's a fact. The word of God is a fact. It's not what I say and what you say. It's what the Bible says. You see? It's not you translate it this way and you translate it that way. No. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. And I want you to know the book is always right. And the scriptures cannot be broken. The testimony of millions and millions of people who have received Jesus Christ, have been willing to die a martyr for Christ, who have willing to suffer persecution for the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because when they received Christ, the Holy Spirit of God came into their hearts and took away their stony, sinful heart and gave them a heart of flesh. And the love of God began to flow from them. You see, just like that blind man that Jesus healed and his family said, you know, we don't know how he got healed. Let him tell you. Well, Jesus healed him. But his friends said, well, is this the same guy that was blind from his death? Now he can see? And some said he looked like him. He looks like him. And that's what they'll say about you. Once you receive Christ and receive the Holy Spirit and repent of your sins, he promises you, if any man be born again, any man, He said that all things become new. Old things are passed away. Aren't you tired of living that sinful life? Don't you think it's time to settle that sin issue with the Lord Jesus Christ? Today's the day. If you just turn from that sinful life and say, you know, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sins, and I ask Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross, he was buried and rose the third day, resurrected. He's at the right hand of the Father now. And I receive Jesus. I ask for Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, and I believe he is. And something wonderful will happen. God will reveal himself to you and give you his Holy Spirit. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you call on the name of Jesus? Haven't you lived this sinful life long enough? And if you're saved and you're not walking right with the Lord, today's a good day to get right. Why don't you just go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm tired of trying to be God. Lord, it just seems I gave up when I backslid, but I want to get right, Lord, and I'm not going to give up. And why don't you knock the dust off your pants and get up off the ground and praise the Lord, hallelujah, and confess that sin and get it under the blood of Jesus Christ, and let's get on down the road. Get serving the Lord and glorifying him and having joy and peace back in your life. Old backslidden brother, come forward. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for the sinner. And if you're unsaved, he offers you that pardon tonight. Well, Holy Father, we thank you for this lesson, Lord, and for the scriptures and the scripture readings and your word, Lord, and for this time together, Father God. And I ask you, Father God, that you would continue to bless this listening audience and comfort their hearts and lead them this week, Lord, to remember that Jesus is the reason why these people are claiming the season. Amen. Even the unsaved are yelling Jesus, but they need Jesus. And Lord, we thank you so preciously. Father God, please bless Marilyn, my wife, who stands by me, Lord, the wonderful woman you've given me. Bless our church here, the Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach, Lord. Help our finances, God. Help us mentally and emotionally, physically, spiritually, and fill that place with your Holy Spirit. Bless Imperial Beach, California, and pour your spirit out upon it, and let these people know there is a stronghold. The word of God is preached. Amen. Father God, bless Brother Nathan, Brother Joseph Gibson, and Scott Bruff, associate pastor and his family. And Lord, bless Mary, and Dottie, and Kitty, and all those who ask for prayer, and Sister Joan, and Diane, whose husband recently passed away. Oh, it's a hard time in the holidays. Please bless her, Lord, and comfort her little heart. And I thank you, Father God, for being so merciful to us. And bless all those who've requested prayer, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. Good night, folks. Brother Nathan.
I don't know what's waiting on me in the future. I just don't know. I don't know what I'll be doing 10 years from now. I just don't know. But I believe.